The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 12th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. More changes went into effect this month that the U.S. Postal Service and some postal workers in New York worry about how these policies will impact the avalanche of mail coming up this holiday season.
The Postal Service's new service standards, which went into effect on October 1st, include moving away from airmail delivery for first-class mail. It's expected that mail traveling less than 1,000 miles will reach its destination in 3 days, and mail traveling more than 1,900 miles will take about 5 days. The Postal Service says these efforts are meant to cut costs. But John Tabak with the American Postal Workers Union's local chapter in Albany says these changes are regrettable.
Standards for the post office should not be slowed. The future of the post office is in more automation. It's not in going back to trucks. It's not in going back to sorting mail by hand. It's an innovation, and there is a possibility here to innovate its way out, but it takes some money, and right now the post office doesn't have it.
These latest changes are part of Postmaster General Louis DeJoy's 10-year plan for the service, called Delivering for America, which aims to avoid $160 billion in losses by 2030 and includes modernizing the vehicle fleet as well as investments in processing facilities. I'm Emily Scott.
Data from the 2020 U.S. Census showed 95% of the Texas population growth came from minorities, but the proposed redistricting map, approved by the Senate there and now before the House, will not increase their political power.
Kathy Feng with the watchdog group Common Cause says the pandemic delayed census data collection, allowing state legislatures to rush approval of partisan-drawn district maps.
This release of census data in August rather than in the usual January-February timeframe has given cover for states to be drawing lines oftentimes at the expense of community voices and our changing demographics.
A 2013 ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court eroded the Voting Rights Act, making it incumbent upon voters who allege discrimination to prove they've been disenfranchised. I'm Roz Brown.
Census data shows the population identifying as multiracial, about 9 million people in 2010, increased by 276%. To nearly 34 million in 2020. Meantime, Yahoo News reports Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order Monday prohibiting COVID-19 vaccine mandates by any entity, including employers, if someone objects to the vaccine for any reason of personal conscience. Yahoo reports the new executive order goes further than Abbott's previous vaccine mandate ban passed in August, which did prohibit vaccine mandates by any state government entity or entities that receive public funds. This is PNS. Nevada scores a D-plus for children's mental health. That's according to a new report from the Children's Advocacy Alliance.
Researchers evaluated the Silver State on a series of mental health indicators, including depression, substance abuse, developmental disorders, suicide, and access to care. Dr. Tara Raines with the Children's Advocacy Alliance says the biggest problem is access. The state faces a huge shortage of pediatric mental health providers, especially within the juvenile justice system.
We need more psychologists. We need more treatment centers for kids with severe mental health disorders. We need more psychiatric social workers. We need more child psychiatrists.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
The report gave Nevada an F-plus for the percentage of children receiving mental health and behavioral care. A 2020 report from Mental Health America ranked Nevada worst in the nation for prevalence of mental illness and low access to care. It is called the Valley Wide Ride. It's a transportation service introduced last year to help San Luis Valley residents get to health centers, and it's booking more rides than ever with the addition of 2 wheelchair-accessible vehicles.
Evelyn Wyant with Valley Wide Health System says the program has been key for reducing one of the biggest barriers to care. Because the area is so spread out, getting to a doctor's appointment can mean a 30 to 45 minute drive each way.
A significant portion of our patients live at or below the poverty line, and so they may not have transportation of their own, or they may be elderly and unable to transport themselves.
More than 20% of residents served by Valley Wide live below the federal poverty level, and Wyant says even if reliable public transportation was available, many residents wouldn't be able to pay for it. I'm Eric Galatis.
Finally, Diane Bernard tells us last month a health researcher in the Washington, D.C. area gave CPR to a man suffering a heart attack on a local bike trail. Now he is using this experience to put a spotlight on World Restart a Heart Day, which happens this weekend.
Brian Buckley says he and a friend were biking when they saw a man in his late 60s drop to the ground. As a former lifeguard, he knew that starting CPR quickly can double or triple a cardiac arrest victim's chance of survival.
We were the first responders, and, you know, I looked to my buddy, I say, you call 911, and then the lifeguarding, it all, like, came back like it was yesterday. We ended up doing CPR, switching between three of us, over for about 15 to 20 minutes, and in many ways, that ended up saving that man's life.
In 2020, the Virginia General Assembly passed a law requiring that all state 911 dispatchers complete telephone CPR education by July of 2024. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.